very much in favor of the counting of points.
Does it work for you? No.
Hello, and welcome back to The Run-Through, your favorite figure skating podcast that has sold out a show. You guys. Live show.
Adam, where's your soundboard? We need like the womp, womp, womp.
What you don't know now in the present tense is that there will be a massive audience, not only at Banners. Yes, we sold out Banners, which is...
Can you believe?
It's our Madison Square Garden.
Right next to the TD Garden.
You guys, it's actually, it's a really cool restaurant. It's massive, and it's going to feel like Madison Square / TD Garden. It shares a wall.
Well, okay, here's the thing. When we were planning the live show, which was actually Sarah's brainchild, and Ashley and I were like, yeah. And then we took her seriously for 1 second, which was our mistake.
And that was the only
that's all
second.
It took.
It's gone away.
That's all it took.
But all you needed was 1 second.
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes 99 people are in a room and all you need is one.
Well, sometimes 300 people will be in a room at Banners and all you need is three hosts.
That was a Lady Gaga reference for those keeping score. But sometimes 300 people are in a room.
Well, 303.
Oh, yeah.
That's so true.
I'm so proud of us and so excited for our audience. I feel like when we started this, the three of us were just like, whatever, this is just going to be something silly. And it still is.
But now it's silly with a live show.
It's silly with a live show. And a side of brunch.
Oh, actually, Ashley saying brunch is reminding me that there were some people who were asking if their tickets to our live show were correct because they said Friends of Figure Skating Breakfast. And they are correct. So we just want to put your mind at ease. US Figure Skating is helping us with the ticketing. So those tickets that do say Friends of Figure Skating, they actually mean sold out the Run Through podcast live show.
I am going to call this live show TRL, just so everybody knows. So this is the new TRL. I don't know if you guys went home from, well, I don't know. I guess you didn't go to school as much as me, but we...
Sarah,
us in school.
What the fuck? I went to school the entire
but
way
she's talking about a time period.
I went to school and then I went to the rink. I didn't go home to watch TRL.
Okay. Then that's okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean anything by it other than I went home from school to watch TRL and now I'm going to be on TRL. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how I'm feeling
right
now.
I accept that.
Yeah, we're super excited. Thank you guys so much for such an enthusiastic response. We're going to be able to give a great donation to the family fund out of this, and we're going to have a great time. And we have some little surprises for you, too. So, yeah, I can't wait.
I can't wait.
Wait, speaking of surprises, Sarah, I feel like I asked you to enter this show because you've put in so much work. Adam, too. I've put in zero work. Just so everyone knows, I have just been the silent cheerleader, not texting people back in all of this, but like really supportive of the movement. Sarah.
She's really into the movement. She's really
into the movement. People know I'm a fan.
She's our silent partner, our silent investor.
I am just stressed behind the scenes doing nothing. but Sarah, I also want you to announce our little sweet treat for our friends at the World Championships, because today we're previewing the women's and the pairs event.
Yes.
How lucky are we? But we have something in addition to announce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we are going to have at the merch stands at the World Championships some buttons for our three U.S. women that have some of the stand names that we have come up with on this show. They are approved by Amber and Isabeau and Alyssa. And we hope that you'll go grab them because our show is after the women will already be done. So we're putting them at the merch tables at the main hotel and at TD Garden. So go get them. There are three buttons, one for each U.S. woman. And yeah, we hope you like them because I just made them up on a free buttons website.
Mm-hmm.
And it's freebuttons.net.
It has taken over Sarah's personality.
Yeah, that's because... true. Because when we were trying to organize the live show and we were talking about, you know, the cost to have the venue and everything, I kept being like, but you guys, we're going to have all this button revenue.
Yeah. Yeah. We have the backup button cash.
The three of us, well, we've never done a live show before, so we had no idea. First of all, a venue is not cheap. It's incredibly expensive. And so we were really at one point being like, well, you know what? If nobody comes, maybe the buttons can help us.
Maybe the buttons will cover the cost.
Immediately ceased to be a problem like 1 hour after tickets went live, which is just so crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. You guys are the best.
It's crazy. We can't wait. We're so excited. And on that note of the women's buttons, let's talk about the women because the women are up first in Boston. The short program is at a ripe 12.05 p.m. on a Wednesday. Which is the time that I love to be watching figure skating the most as a person with a job. Mm-hmm. So
that's actually when I usually watch my figure skating because Rosie's in daycare and I have like a free window. So it's right on schedule for me.
Ashley made the schedule and the women are doing their short program at 12.05 p.m. on Wednesday. And
but by the time you get to the later groups, it'll be like 10.30 p.m.
Yeah. Well, no, because the pairs are later that day. So, I mean, it's going to be like, yeah, but it is going to be 4 or 5 hours of women's short programs. There are 33 women in this field. Mm-hmm. And just to set the table for everyone who might need a refresher on Olympic spots, there are 24 Olympic spots available in the singles disciplines at these world championships. A National Organizing Committee, or NOC, can earn 3 or 2 or 1 spot here based on how the top athletes place. So if your country is sending 2 or 3 athletes, you count the placements of the top 2 athletes and you add those placements together. If it's 13 or less, you get 3 spots for the Olympics. If it's between 14 and 28, you get 2 spots for the Olympics. And then after all the countries that have earned multiple spots are accounted for, each NOC after that will get 1 spot until 24 spots are filled. And then there will be additional spots available at the qualifying competition later this year. But that's how that works for Olympic spots. So the U.S., for instance, Japan, all these countries with multiple entries are trying to get their top 2 women to place in a way that adds up to 13 or less to get 3 spots for the Olympics. And also, your top placing athlete gets points toward team event qualification at this event.
Whew.
Yeah, math.
Whew.
So anyway, we have buttons at the merch tables, which we're really excited about.
Yeah, the buttons are going to be more exciting than the spots math is going
to
be.
What you need to know is that if there's a country, the lowest places they can get 3 spots are going to be 6th and 7th.
Together. So, but together. Somebody could get 2nd and 10th, 2nd and 11th, and also get 3 spots, which is what happened to the U.S. women last year. Isabeau got 2nd.
Yes.
Amber got 10th. Yeah. And they got 3 spots for these world championships.
Oh my goodness, that's right. Isn't that just kind of crazy to imagine that Amber Glenn coming in as the reigning 10th place finisher at this event is genuinely
the favorite.
Being the favorite. That's what a glow up.
100%.
A Glenn up.
A Glenn up.
What a Glenn up.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Put that on a button. Okay.
Yeah, I've Glenned up.
Sarah's mad. It's not on the button.
she's going back. Damn it.
I'm making new ones.
Call China.
Actually, our button company is in Ohio. Okay. No tariffs on these. Okay.
Buy local.
Yeah. Buy local in the Midwest.
Buy local.
Okay. Do you actually think that Amber is the clear favorite? or where, how do you think it stacks up against Kaori Sakamoto going her for her fourth straight?
I think Kaori has an advantage here because Kaori's done it. At this point, a fourth world, it's like, oh, snooze, boring, I've done it. Like, she knows how it feels.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas for Amber, this is the first time, and the whisperings aren't really whisperings anymore. It's people on a podcast on the run-through saying Amber Glenn could be world champion. And so I think that narrative being so out there changes the dynamic a little bit. But Amber's also done a pretty decent job at handling the pressure this season. So I feel like mentally she's in a good place to handle it, but I would not count Kaori out because this is familiar for her. Going after a fourth world title, it's got to be so comfortable. What's at stake? She knows what it feels like.
I mean, I think what's at stake is just pride. And I feel like I completely agree with you that it, not that it's going to be easy or that it's a walk in the park, but that like this is where the adrenaline could really hit her in a positive way of like when everything else feels a little bit less than when you've won three world titles. I can imagine that a fourth world title would still give you that feeling of like, okay, let's buckle down, let's do this. So I feel like we could be waiting for Kaori's best performances of the season in Boston. It does feel that way. I feel like Chicago in Boston, that's very Finnish dance
sense.
Team.
It's very,
very
Finnish dance
Broadway.
Team. Broadway.
I went through the women's field earlier and I just quick jotted down the season's best in the field. Mm-hmm. And Kaori's is the clear best score of the season.
By how many points?
She had a 231, almost 232 at NHK. Granted, at NHK, granted. So in Japan. But that is 9 points better than Kim Chaeyeon got at Four Continents, which is the next best in the field. Amber's best score this season was almost a 216, over 215.
Okay.
But that was at Cup of China. And I think that's like the thing is, I mean, the ceiling matters to some degree, but to the point of like what you were saying, Ashley, about Amber just being able to get it done, she has gone undefeated this season. So the top score has not come into like
hasn't been to play yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's really going to be just, I mean, does Kaori have the highest ceiling here? I actually don't know. I think if Amber were to do two clean programs with triple axels in them and Kaori did two clean programs, that would be really close.
I agree. But then also you have to think about like being in the U.S. I think as someone who won a medal in the U.S., I won't lie, that helped me a lot.
Of course. Well, that's why I just said we take Kaori's best score at NHK with a grain of salt too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's a reality. So, yeah, I think if Amber does two clean programs, I just don't know how somebody beats her at home.
Oh, that's so exciting.
I completely agree. But the thing is about the Kaori versus Amber, it's we're asking, will Kaori skate clean and can Amber skate clean? Because Amber's been really solid all year. And throughout this undefeated season, she's defeated Kaori twice.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but she hasn't always skated clean.
Exactly. And not that she'll need it, but it would be very helpful in her quest to a first world title to be as close to clean as possible.
I mean, I think it's pretty undeniable. If she skates clean, that's a really hard program to deny.
And I don't want to leave out, because Kaori has been a little less consistent, I don't want to leave out Kim Chaeyeon because she is going to skate clean. And she's coming off.
I would bet my life on it.
Yeah. And she's coming off of 222 points. Granted, Four Continents was in South Korea. So again, we'd look at a little bit of inflation there probably, but she's going to skate
clean.
Thanks,
Biden.
And I don't think that Amber, you know, or anyone can afford a lot of mistakes to beat her.
Yeah.
No. Because she'll be right there. Because also, to your point, is if if Amber and Cowrie both make major mistakes,
she'll be right there.
Chaeyoung will be right there, if not on top of the podium, to capitalize on a moment.
Yes. Agreed. And then I think the next tier, just based on kind of scoring, is Monet Chiba, Nina Petrokina, and Wakaba
Nina
Higuchi.
Petrokina, oh my God.
Have all gone over 200 this season.
Mentally put her in that tier, but European champion. She was insane.
Right. And again, she was at home for Europeans. So all of these scores are a little like...
witchcrafty?
A little.
Now, I have something to say that we absolutely should not be counting out Isabeau, Levito.
I'm not.
Good.
I'm not. I'm just going by the tiers of the scoring from this season. I was not counting anyone out yet. Go on, Adam.
And I wasn't claiming you were as I put the gun back down. But I think that to Ashley's point earlier, this is a home country world and there's truly nothing like it. I remember when I skated in Boston in 2016, the feeling and the sounds of the arena. But more than anything, I remember when Ashley and Gracie were skating in Boston. Being in the audience, it was unbelievable. It was like being at a rock concert, full arena.
There's some magic.
Fully supportive of the American girl. It creates such momentum around the American athletes as it does in any sort of like home country world's situation, the hometown favorite. It creates a moment in the arena that it's like undeniable. So if Isabeau is to go clean, Isabeau's right in the mix too, where if there are major mistakes, Isabeau could end up on the top of the podium. Isabeau could end up back on the world's podium as she was the year before. She's totally, I still think, in the mix.
I mean, we don't really know what she's going to do. We haven't seen enough of her this season or really of either of her programs. And I know that she's gone out and competed, but the stages are very different. The energy you pull from competing at different events feels very different. And stepping out onto world ice, it's like gasoline. There is just this energy source that's so much bigger than any other event, and it either works for you or it really doesn't.
Well, and also this U.S. team, I think it's the first time since, I think I'm correct, 2005 would be the last time we sent a world team of women with two world medals, two different world medalists on the same team.
It was in 2005. It was Michelle Kwan, Sasha Cohen. And who was the third?
Was it Jenny Kirk?
It was in Moscow. It was also the first time Michelle Cohen was not on the podium at a Worlds since 96.
Sasha Cohen got second that year.
Mm-hmm. Michelle fourth. But, you know, Michelle Kwan was already like a five-time world champion. Sasha was already on the world podium.
Well, I don't know if you remember that Michelle Kwan won 15 national titles. That's per Ashley's recollection of history.
I do remember.
Congratulations,
that.
By the way.
I do.
No, yeah, I think that you're that. Right, Adam, that was the last time there were two world medals on a single U.S. women's world team. And Sasha Cohen is the most recent U.S. woman to win two world medals.
I was right. It was Jenny Kirk.
Every
now and then when I pull out a skating fact, that's right.
No, you were so right because Jenny was on that bubble of like, I remember the 2006 nationals. It was like Katie Taylor, Pink Hummer.
Oh, yeah.
Emily Hughes, Jenny Kirk. Kimmy Meisner was kind of pulling away from everybody, like, which eventually, you know, she ended up getting a world title later that year. But Jenny Kirk, who had, I think, one of the best Chicago programs.
Oh, that's one of the greatest of all time.
And the best, one of the best dresses. Dressed.
Yeah, so don't count Isabeau out. I feel like she could absolutely be a contender. None of us
yes,
are.
Yes, Sarah.
Oh. Let the record show that I didn't count anyone out. I made buttons for everyone, okay? And I think that Isabeau's... you know, she could be in the best position because of this sort of unknown expectations that we're talking about, where we are, Ashley's saying, we don't know what she's going to do, which that could be freeing mentally for her because she's coming back from injury and hasn't been in the spotlight for most of this season.
Or she could also not know what she's going to do.
Again, could be freeing.
There are so many women in this event who we do not know what they're going to do.
I would say all of them, except Kim Chaeyoung.
We know exactly.
She's going to land every jump squeaky clean, yeah, like a roller skater.
I know what she's going to do.
Stand up.
But yeah, I mean, it matters how all of them do because of the Olympic spot math that we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. Somebody has got to, you know, two of them have to be solid, at least.
Mm-hmm. Well, it also matters what these people are going to do if they want buttons next year. So
exactly.
That's so true.
They'll be dropped off the roster.
If you want a button, you better skate.
If you want a button, you better skate.
Show up. Stand up.
Yeah. So,
which I'm sure will be really weighing on them when they compete next week.
I'm sure. I hope I get a button next year.
You talked about, we talked about you skating at a home Worlds in this arena where you obviously were second. Talk about the added component of having to earn Olympic spots, because you were at Worlds the next year having to earn Olympic spots.
Oh, yeah, it sucks. It's not fun. Thank God I always went to Worlds with Karen Chen, and the pre-Olympic World Championships was when she was going to be fourth.
She was always going to be fourth in pre-Olympic year.
Always going to be fourth a pre-Olympic year, and we love that for her. It's not fun. It's really stressful because not only are you dealing with the pressure of the World Championships, but you're dealing with the pressure of all your fellow competitors watching what you're going to do, and it's like you're earning your right to compete at the World Championships all over again. And you're earning your right to even be considered for an Olympic spot the next year. There's more on the line than just this competition that we're watching. And it can really define a career. And I firmly believe that. I'm going to say a fucking dumpster fire at the 2017 World Championships. And that was considered when they were looking to name the Olympic team. And we're really in that bubble where all of these athletes know every event from here on out is on the table when the Olympic committee is really trying to decide who is going to be put on that team, or U.S. figure skating is putting on that team.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, I think, true for other skaters outside the U.S. too. I mean, they're all starting to feel this pressure.
Oh, yeah, I'm saying it generally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that pressure to get the spots is always there for the next year's World Championships, but it's just amplified times 100,000 million for those Olympic spots.
Outside of who we've talked about so far, who are you guys really excited to see? For me, I would have to say Gubanova. I love that short program.
You
want
to get shot out to
nothing.
Space?
Yeah.
money in a bra.
Money
yeah.
In a glitter bra.
Yeah. I'm excited to see a lot of these skaters. One of the more interesting ones that I feel like I'm gonna watch is Nina Pinzeroni, because Luna Hendricks is not here. Luna Hendricks was fourth last year. She was on the podium the two previous years. And so that is like a big vacancy, I think, in the top tier of the women, and it leaves Nina Pinzeroni in this position to try to earn two spots on her own. And so she needs a top 10 finish here. If she were to be in the top two, she would get three spots. I don't think that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But if she finishes 10th or better, she gets two spots, theoretically, for her and Luna, or for her and somebody else. And yeah, I don't know. That feels like on the bubble to me. Like, I could see that happening, and I could see it not.
Well, that's a lot of pressure, because for her, two spots would guarantee her an Olympic berth. And one, she would have to really duke it out.
Yeah, it puts a lot more pressure on the team.
Yeah, way more. Okay, for me, I am so grateful, so honored that we get to host Laura Naki Gutman.
I knew you were going to say this. Yeah.
I am honored.
I was worried she wasn't going to be named to the team. I was worried that the Italian champion Pezzetta would be named.
Yeah, because Laura got sixth at Europeans and Anna Pezzetta got fifth. And they hadn't named their world team before that. So it was a little up in the air. But I feel like this is probably because Anna Pezzetta's ceiling so far is a little bit lower.
And Laura medaled on the Grand Prix.
Laura had a great season.
But she's in that position too of like, if she can get in the top 10, they could both go. Mm-hmm. And if she doesn't get in the top 10, then she's in a position where, sorry, if Anna Pezzetta gets more consistent, I think she can beat her out for that Olympic spot. Mm-hmm. And we all love Laura on this podcast, obviously. But I
feel like for Nina to get into the top 10 feels to me pretty realistic. Laura feels very on the bubble.
Mm.
It's on the bubble, but she's made such drastic improvements this whole season that anything can really shake out at a world championships. I agree with you that like Nina does seem a more sort of solid estimate prediction, but it's not impossible by any means.
I just really want Laura Naki Gutman to go to the Olympics and do some super voidy program for us in Milan.
White Lotus.
Yeah.
The old White Lotus theme song.
I do not like the new one. It's so boring.
It's not good. It's not good.
I want her to do a White Lotus program, and I want her to be like Jennifer Coolidge's character. And skate with a gun.
These gays are trying to kill me.
A floral moon move. Wait, White Lotus, fun fact that I did not catch on to. So there's a scene before she dies. And it's like her assistant is out at lunch at the same hotel where there's like a scene from The Godfather.
You're talking about Haley Lou Richardson, the bucket hat girl?
Bucket Hat Girl.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so they're looking over at this. The hotel is known for being from a scene in The Godfather. And so there's a car with like a dummy in the car. And it's this woman because it's what the – I haven't seen The Godfather or Scarface or one of whatever those. But like
me either.
His wife blows up
me
in a
either,
car,
but
right?
I'm like, yes.
And so it's the dummy in the car that's supposed to be the car she gets blown up in. And she's wearing this floral dress. It's the floral dress. It's the exact same floral dress that Jennifer Coolidge dies in.
Really?
Yeah. So there's some like foreshadowing there.
I love the White Lotus.
And back to your favorite figure skating podcast.
That is a fun fact.
Apparently the clues are always right in front of you.
So in conclusion, we want Laura Naki Gutman to do well so that she can do a White Lotus program next season at the Olympics.
Yes, for
you
us.
You guys, that idea actually does have legs. That's a good idea.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of another.
I've heard some bad ideas. That's a good one.
We've definitely had our fair share of bad ideas.
Oh, yeah.
Another story Olympic-wise that I am going to be watching is Maddie Skizas, who is going to this event by herself. She's the only Canadian woman. And she got 18th last year. And I worry about if there is a situation where she does not skate her best, that Canada ends up having to go get a spot later this year.
Do you think?
I don't know. It totally depends on the math of how other people do, how many countries have earned multiple spots, like how many are left and where she is. So there's variables. So I don't know. Oof. But and if Maddie skates well, they won't be in that position.
Oh, she's going to be fine, but that's not a guarantee.
Right. And so I'm a little like, you know, that's something that I'm going to watch also, because that would not be ideal for them to not even have the one spot.
No, it would be kind of shocking.
You know who we haven't talked about? Top five last season. Adam's daughter, Kimi Rapond, which I forgot that she got fifth at Worlds last year until I prepared for this episode.
I completely forgot until you said that right now. And I'm not even going to say it's that I forgot. I'm going to say it's that I didn't know.
Oh, you just, I'll you haven't honest. Gotten to
never knew it.
At those results
didn't watch. Didn't get around to it. Wasn't midday.
It was at 12 noon when the clock strikes 12.
Oh, well.
But yeah, her. She was Congrats. Fifth last year. She's coming off finishing fourth at Europeans.
Yeah.
You know, Switzerland has two spots at this Worlds. I mean, they could get two spots for the Olympics. She could be in the top 10.
I could see that. Totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she could easily be in the top 10.
Yeah, she's a little bubbly too, but...
My ideal scenario includes a Wakaba Higuchi medal. I'll say that.
No, my ideal is a Wakaba Higuchi championship.
Agreed.
Yeah. She's on top of the podium. That won't happen, but you know
something
we love to see it.
We don't talk about is how Wakaba should have won the short program
at the Olympics.
Beijing. Yeah. Like yes. that like I remember watching that and being like, no, this it should like
this
why
is the
isn't
best
it,
one.
Why isn't this winning? Like it's so bizarre to me.
I didn't know. That Olympics was overshadowed by so much bullshit. And then on top of that, I feel like the tomfoolery that was going on with the judging, hiding behind all the extra noise, she should have absolutely won that short program. It was so good and blatantly wrong.
Was this the short program that Camilla was good in, right?
Camilla,
and then she struggled in the free
yeah.
skate.
Yes.
So I think Camilla yeah. actually did deserve to win the short program, but then they put her...
Well, she shouldn't have been competing.
Well, okay. Taking that out of it, if you were going to let her compete...
There was a maturity that
Wakaba,
Camilla didn't have, that Wakaba did, that I... She should have edged her out. And because I think Camilla stepped out of the axle.
I remember Wakaba getting fifth, and I remember Camilla mostly skating very well. So obviously fifth was insane, but she should have been right there, even if she it didn't win the short.
Criminal.
But I would have been perfectly happy if she won the short. I was just trying to remember what happened in that segment. But yeah, I would love to see another medal for Wakaba Higuchi, who was second in 2018. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Behind
I do.
Caitlin Osmond.
Silver Sisters, as we call ourselves.
Silver Sisters? Do you
I
guys
just
have
came
a group
up with
chat?
That. But I'll let her know. I would love to start a group chat with Wakaba. Wakaba, text me, please.
Please text me. That's it. Does take two to have a group chat.
It does.
Also, Camilla
you should
did...
start a Silver Sisters group chat, and it'll be yeah, you and Lee Hayen and Luna Hendricks and Isabeau and Tuukka de Mushava. This is a good group chat.
Oh well, now it's really fun.
Luna and Tuukka de Mushava in the same group chat is really yeah. fun. Those
I
girls have been
to
the club.
These kids. They've been to the club.
Yes. Maybe too
and not
many
like
times.
A I know a place, but a multiple floors.
Yeah, and they're on the
situation.
VIP list.
And there's confetti like falling from the ceiling.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
probably fire.
Silver Sisters group chat.
Okay, wait. Can we talk Let's about the 2002 Olympic women's short program for one
what?
More second.
2002?
I have the, oh, sorry, the 2022.
I was like, I guess.
Okay.
Let's do
Camilla
it.
Camilla stepped out of the axle.
Okay.
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 This is the hill he's dying on.
Trusova fell on an under axle and got an exclamation point on a flip.
Okay.
And Wakaba was given an under on the triple toe on the Lutz toe.
I remember this.
And
I was
an exclamation point and a Q on the triple flip.
Tomfoolery fuckery.
So I remember that other than the step out, Camilla skated quite well. And maturity, yes, there's a point to make about maturity. I always thought, hot take maybe, but I always thought Camilla was like not as juvenile looking as some of the other Atari girls
Agreed.
Could be musically.
Agreed.
I thought
totally
she had like
agree.
Really
yes.
nice musicality a lot of the time, especially in that short. Like Bolero, whatever. But the yeah. short program was nice.
Well, I told you that I'd never seen her skate in person before. And I remember calling you going, what I'm watching is unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I've never seen anybody skate like this. And when I said that, I meant on drugs.
On heart medication. Yes.
Oh, you've seen that. You've seen it.
I just never
We've all seen it
so closely to a competition.
Sure. So close to their heart.
No, I've seen that for sure.
You've seen that for sure.
I've seen that for sure.
Yeah, so now that we've litigated out the 2022 Olympic short program where Wakaba should have been first or second, mm-hmm. I think we can move on to the pairs in Boston next week, shall we?
We shall.
The pair short program is on Wednesday night at 6:45 p.m. Eastern. And the free skate is on Thursday night at 6:15 Eastern. So those will be the first medals awarded.
Now, off the bat, do you have any sort of predictions? Because I do. I'm getting a sense and a feeling of who I think are your the top two.
The clairvoyance is shining through right now.
That Haza and Volodin are going to win.
Me too.
I feel the same.
Oh, this is interesting.
Are we all in agreement?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, do you think is going to get second? I'll tell.
Miura and Kihara.
The Georgians.
Really?
Yes, okay. I do think
I could
Georgians.
See them being third. I fear, I don't want this to be the case, but I fear for Deanna and Max. They have just really struggled to put it together this year, and I don't see that changing in such a short amount of time. I think like when the content is just not working for you, it's just not working. And
you've had so many interruptions in your training. Like,
there's so much going. Like, take this year for what it is. I don't think that they're going to be on the podium. Haza and Volodin just have this energy about them that I'm buying into. And I feel like they're getting so confident in themselves, and under pressure, that's going to show up.
And it just feels like the momentum is heading in that direction where like they can capitalize on the moment. Because also another thing to be said at a World Championships is that when there's not a hometown favorite for gold, anybody can become the hometown favorite. Mm-hmm. And you can create that hometown feel, because when you're at the World Championships, you want to see like the gold medal winning moment. And there's that feeling in the audience where, especially when nobody from that country is like the favorite, you can capitalize mm-hmm. on it, and you can become that person that the whole audience rallies around. And not to say that, like, you know, Kaori isn't, if she skates absolutely lights out, that the audience is going to be sitting there golf clap and go, well, I just don't really get it. Like,
right.
No.
It's not going to be like the Sochi Olympics where right, while exactly. Carolina Costner's on the ice, they're going, Russia. It's
exactly.
not going to happen.
Exactly. Like, like the roof will still come off of the building.
It absolutely will. Boston locals, Haza and Volodin.
Yeah, Boston's hometown favorites, Minerva Haza and Nikita Volodin.
German pair team.
I do think, like, to your point, I remember Boston last time, Megan Duhamel and Eric Radford won their second straight world title. And I actually think they were skating to hometown glory. Mm-hmm. By Adele, which is just funny
two
that
Boston
you kept
kids.
Saying hometown energy. But it was the same way where, like, there wasn't an American team that was really in the mix. And so, like, the best skates really captured the audience.
Moment. People just want to see the moment.
Also, something that's very famous for, like, Americans to do is that, like, if we don't have an American who's a favorite for gold and there's a Canadian, we'll immediately go, well, it's
that's
North
ours.
America. That's our 51st state.
That's our 51st state.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, in Deanna Stellato's case, she is from the United States originally. Yes. So
yeah, don't forget that American name, Dudek.
And Stellato. Right? That's her original name. I think, and it probably doesn't hurt. I know I've railed against the dirge version, but it probably doesn't hurt that they have a Beyonce song in the short program that Americans mm-hmm. will like. But yeah, Ashley, I don't know. I don't know that I definitively think they're off the podium, but I don't, they're not who I'm thinking is going to win.
Can I give you a chaotic podium?
Give us the chaotic podium.
Of what I don't know if I'm right or wrong. This is just what my feeling is. That the podium is Haza and Volodin. Mm-hmm. Then it's Metelkina and Brulava.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's Conti and Machi.
Wow. I don't see a world where the Japanese are not on the podium.
Yeah, now, see, I'm thinking that the podium is Haza and Volodin, Miura, Kihara, and then I don't know. And I don't know that it's necessarily in that order, but those two teams I think are on the podium somewhere, and then there's a third team. And I don't know who it'll be. I think Conti and Machi's a good choice.
I actually do too.
I mean, my favorites are Miura and Kihara. Like, they're my mm-hmm. favorites of the event. I love their skating. I love their programs. They are my favorites, but I say this based on my feeling of they are probably feeling the most pressure aside from Deanna and Max, where it's like they have that past world championship pressure on their shoulders. That Conti and Machi are sort of on this upward trajectory to try to repeat some of the success that they've had in the past. But for the Georgians, they're just kind of there surprising us with great placements and consistent skating.
Yeah, they're just winning junior worlds every
again
year.
Again and again every year.
Go get your bag.
Yeah, and, I mean, they're definitely in the mix for
and
sure.
And they have some of the most incredible pair elements.
Agreed.
And also, Haza
and I love their short program. I love their short program.
It's
little
so
neon
fun.
Action.
Yes.
Where do we think the American teams are going to finish here? Ellie Kam and Danny O'Shea are going in, I feel, as the top American team from being better placed at Four Continents and having the stronger mm-hmm. overall season. And then Yefimova and Mitrofanov are going in as national champions to their first Worlds.
At home, literally. They train across the street, wherever that rink is. I don't know where it is.
And also like 30 minutes south and there's a freeway, but that's fine.
But first you
those
go
are
across streets. The
street. Those are streets.
Those are big streets.
Across the streets of Boston.
Across the streets.
I am curious about how it's going to shake out for this team because they're locals. I do wonder if it's going to make them feel a little bit more pressure, but also because they went out to Four Continents, they've already competed on a international stage as national champions. So they've kind of felt that pressure and gotten it out of the way. And now hopefully they can just kind of focus on what they need to do. I think they're the better team. Genuinely. I like their skating about the same, I would say, but I like their pairs elements more. I don't think that their connection is as strong as Ellie and Danny, but they remind me of a 90s pair team, and there's something about that that just really eases my soul. I wouldn't count them out while Ellie and Danny are going in as the stronger team internationally right now. I could see them pulling ahead.
I have to lean towards Sarah a bit more, where I think Kam and O'Shea are going to edge out Efimova and Mitrofanov. But I'm feeling good about both teams. My real sense, and I know we're kind of really wondering, like, what's my sort of psychic sixth sense?
Right, the clairvoyance.
That's what I'm always wondering before an event.
Now, I think that Kam and O'Shea are going to have a real... I think that they've already redeemed themselves from their national skates at Four Continents, but I think that we're going to see a culmination of, you know, I feel like last season we didn't see Ellie Kam land a single throw. And this season we've seen her land a lot more of them. And yeah. I feel like a lot of the work that they've done can culminate in a moment. Because again, just like there's going to be so much good, positive momentum energy around these like American athletes, and they know that.
I think that Ellie and Danny have the edge material wise, especially in the short program. I think that Alisa and Misha's free skate though we saw it in Wichita, like it can really energize a crowd because that music is so big. And if they're clean, people will get really into that. And like, I don't have a strong, I think that Ellie and Danny have a higher ceiling. Like if they could get their pair elements consistent, I think that they have better like foundational skating skills and like better connection, mm-hmm. like those things that are harder to improve on. But I could see these teams finishing in either order and mm-hmm. would not be surprised in any case. Do we think they can get three spots? I think they could.
It's not impossible. I think to go back to my poor man's math of going, you can't get lower than seventh. But I think you really could see these teams
in sixth and seventh and fifth and eighth. Yeah.
Two teams in the top seven. Like, I don't think that that's impossible. I think fifth, eighth, sixth, seventh is like truly on the bubble. And then you have no idea of like, you know, everybody, nobody skates well and they all skate well. Like,
well, Ellie and Danny got fifth at the Grand Prix final.
Exactly.
Which is a good indicator that they could get fifth at the World Championships. I mean, Deanna and Max were not there. That's another, like, that's a wrench. But pairs is, you know, treacherous.
They say that. They do say that. That most of the events, they say.
But I could see it. Who else are we excited to watch? I'll start. Did you guys know that Gabby Izzo is coming to this event for Austria?
I saw her at the skating club of Boston looking like a pair girl. And she walked by me and I went up to one of the coaches and was like, is Gabby Izzo doing pairs?
Is that Austrian pair skater Gabrielle Izzo?
And I think he said yes for Germany. And I go, they speak German.
Well, it's Austria.
Close enough. Yeah, I was surprised. I think that I had like heard echoings that she was doing pairs. But I'm really excited to see what she looks like. I mean, she was fourth at U.S. Nationals in the women's event.
Crazy.
In the Olympic season.
That is crazy.
That was a crazy year, too.
It was crazy. That was the year that Wakabo got fifth in the short program at 2022
2002 Olympics.
2002. Yes. Was she even
Salt
born?
Salt Lake City. Probably not.
You know what's scary is when some of these kids are like, I was born in 2006.
That's horrifying. A kid born in 2006, though, that's not even that young. That person
it's not that
legal.
Young. Yeah.
They're avoiding the draft.
They're voting.
Just as June.
Dodging.
Yeah, they're voting.
They are voting.
They're voting. You can be born in 2007 and vote here. That's crazy.
Okay, we need to change those laws.
We got to look
now
at some
like
of these
rules. I'm a Republican legislator. I'm like, we should absolutely. Now I get it. Like being older.
No, we can't.
Like,
we can't change those laws. Those are the only ones voting on the right side of history right now.
If the young people? No.
No.
Yeah.
No.
What? No. They're listening to Joe Rogan.
No, Ashley,
stop that.
The millennial age group is the most left-leaning. The millennial age group is not the younger ones. Especially the
Fuck
boys.
Fuck the youth. Oh, don't get me started on young boys. My least favorite people.
Absolutely. Oh my God. Not on millennials are, I think, the best. Well, I think we're the luckiest.
Luckiest.
I say this after
I think
we survived
true.
The pandemic, 9/11, a recession.
Well, I think
feel
in
like
the
a
way
lot of
that
our listeners
grew
are like,
up,
I'm waiting to be able to buy a house.
I think the way that we grew up, though, in terms of the way we take in information, we're the luckiest because
we got the best of
both. We have the perfect balance of having technology introduced to us young,
at
so
the
it's
right
familiar
age.
To us, but it was not ubiquitous the way that it is now. And so we knew how to decipher things outside of just like what was mm-hmm. told to us on an iPhone by some random influencer. And we also
exactly.
knew how to decipher what was told to us outside of what was said on Fox News, which like that's what's happening to the generations that are older and younger. And it's squary.
It's crazy. I work with a lot of young skaters just on like mental coaching mm-hmm. and the number of skaters that are like, I'm having a lot of trouble with my double axle, and I see all of my competitors posting their double axles on Instagram, and I'm like, first of all, stop looking, that's not real. Second of all, if I had to go through the 4 years it took for me to land a double axel while watching every single one of my competitors post a video of them landing the axel, I would quit. I'd quit.
Yeah. That I hadn't even really thought of that for young skaters being able to watch everyone's progress in real time.
Yeah.
Even though it's not real progress because it probably took them 500 tries to get the perfect video to post.
Right.
You know?
Like, but totally. They have
but we
a perfect
have the ability
video.
To think about that.
Yeah.
It is crazy. Another thing that's crazy that I think about is that when you think of Nina Pinzeroni and Luna Hendricks, Nina Pinzeroni was probably raised with an iPad.
At the kitchen table.
Uh-huh. Her parents were taking videos of her practices with an iPad.
And she was watching them on the iPad. That's what I mean of she was on the iPad. She was analyzing technique.
She's an iPad analyst.
Jesus. iPad. Yes. She's a genius at the Apple Genius Bar in Belgium. In Brussels.
Get that girl a collared shirt. Actually, no, they were just black t-shirts, I think.
Okay, who else? Who else do we want to call out in the pairs field? Oh, you know what I'll say? Go ahead, Adam.
Pavlova and Sviatchenko.
Of course.
Boston's
I was waiting.
Favorite pair team.
Yes.
Maria Pavlova. Again, it's just one skater.
Yeah, just one skater. I mean, they were fourth last year. They've had a little bit more trouble this season than last season, though. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where the momentum is going to bring them for this year, but I'm always excited to see her.
They have a very fun short program that will do very well with an American crowd.
We have Trenin and Anint.
Yeah. Pereira and Michaud are coming off of a like bronze medal
season
at four continents. Mm-hmm. Like they're... Yeah, they have a ton of momentum right now. I feel like they could, they could be in the top six here.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. Pairs is an exciting discipline right now. I feel like there's a lot of parity.
It's coming, like, they're figuring it out. Like, this happens when the Olympics get closer. The teams start to figure it out because it's becoming real. And we deserve a really great world championships with the pairs event because we were really went through the trenches of all of these teams figuring out how to deal with this new set of pressure, with doors being open, stepping into moments. We deserve a great event.
Yeah, we do.
Can we talk about just how crazy it is to not have a single Chinese pair team in this event?
We can. It's, I never thought I'd see the day.
It just feels so weird.
What happened?
Their program fell apart, and I don't understand what led to that. I feel like there was a lot of switching of partnerships that just didn't work out. And then on top of that, they were dealing with not being able to compete. So then they just lost that momentum. And I feel like they haven't come back from it.
I assume that China is planning to send a team to the Olympic qualification event to get one spot. It's the qualification event is in China. So I can't imagine that they're not going to have somebody to get a spot there or try to get a spot there. But yeah, it's very, very odd that there's no Chinese team in this field. It's very odd. And just to close the loop on Olympic spots, because I forgot to say this when we started talking about pairs, like I said, there are 24 spots available for the singles. There are 16 spots available for pairs. So it's the same rules in terms of the placement math and what you have to do, but only 16 spots will get filled here. And I should say one thing that I have left out of this entire conversation is that in order to get two spots or to get three spots, you have to have that many teams or skaters in the free skate in Boston. So two teams, like the two U.S. pair teams, cannot on their own earn three spots here. They can get the placements for three spots. You may remember this happening in 2021 because it happened to the U.S. men and the U.S. women. But if the two U.S. pairs get sixth and seventh, like we were talking about, they earn the possibility to go earn a third spot in Beijing at the qualifying event in the fall. So the U.S. could then send a third pair team. It can't be either of these two. They can send a third pair team to Beijing in the fall for the possibility of earning that third spot. And that is how you would earn all your spots. You wouldn't actually have the three confirmed spots until this fall. It's the same for when we were talking about Nina Pinzeroni being here by herself or Lara Naki Gutman. They are working to earn the possibility of another skater going to Beijing in the fall so that they can get that extra spot for Belgium, for Italy, for whoever at the qualifying competition.
Sarah, I have a question for you.
Okay.
How many additional spots can be earned at the Olympic qualifiers after the 24 spots are named at these World Championships?
So there's 24 in singles, and then there are five additional spots that can be earned in singles. In pair skating, there's 16 pairs that will qualify here, and then three additional available at the qualification event. And then this at Boston for ice dance, 19 pairs can qualify, and four additional ice dance teams can qualify at the qualification event.
I wonder what everyone's so scared of 30.
This is what I've been thinking about the entire time. 29. Well, we love
it. Probably warm-ups, well, so, right?
What?
Probably like you can do 6-6-6, right? No.
So what do you know? No, it wouldn't make a difference because you would still need a group of five.
No. So what I was going to say is there are additional allocated spots available that they will use depending on like how people qualify for how the host country qualifies and how countries qualify for the team
so
event.
It's in flux.
So there can be additional competitors potentially added. Basically, there's like if Italy were to not qualify a woman, they would get a woman as a host country spot, which would then be 30. So there's like, I'm not going to like bore you. And I also don't know that I can speak with fluency completely on the exact, like, this is priority, then this. But I know the host country is prioritized. And then there's also a provision for team event countries that have qualified like three.
So like if Japan didn't qualify a dance team.
Right.
But Japan is going to be qualified for a team event. Would they then be granted a spot for their dance team?
They could be.
Yeah.
Technically, you can compete in the team event in three disciplines. Technically.
What?
Yeah.
That's what the Russians ended up doing.
That's so weird. Why? You wouldn't win. So what's the point?
Competing.
Spoken like a true bloodthirsty competitor.
American.
What's the point?
I don't get that's so silly. Okay, cool. Good to know.
It's so interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is in the provision. It's each team must participate in at least three disciplines of the team event.
Is that a new provision?
I don't know. I don't remember. Probably not. Most of this language looks really similar to me.
I thought you were going to say old. And in my mind, I was like, what is it on? Scrolls? And I don't know why I was giving you attitude in my mind over nothing you've even said. Something I truly even made up in my own mind. What is it on?
Scrolls?
That
sounds like something I do on the regular. So I've been there. Well, you guys, I think we promised a two-parter. And that's exactly what you're going to be getting from us. Tune in next week where we are going to finalize all of this and preview the men and the dance.
And do a draft.
Yeah, don't forget that, Ashley, this signing
I'm
off.
I'm worried. You guys, I'm actually really worried because my draft members have been skating really badly.
Well, now would be a good time to amend that, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it's partially you need to, like, do a seance or something on your own and, like, put different energy towards them. Do you know what I mean?
I feel like I'm putting out nothing but good vibes.
It's not looking that way, though.
It's not kind of turning out.
It's sort of feeling.
I don't get it. I don't get it. I'm worried. It's like making me scared to pick people.
No, don't do that. Don't be scared. Don't be scared.
Don't do that. Don't be scared. So yeah, we will. This is the women and pairs preview. We will put out the men's and dance preview next week. We will probably do it before Wednesday so that there's a little more time to listen to it before the event starts. And I don't know, then we'll see you at the live show. We are going to record the live show.
I'm actually on my way to go pick up the equipment that we got so that we can record the live show.
Which I'm sure you all are so excited to know.
Well, I'm letting you know because I'm about to learn to see how realistic it is to record the live show. And I've been told it's very realistic. In fact, okay. it's quite easy.
Let me amend what I said. And we are going to try to record the live episode. and Adam is our IT guy. So
I feel good about that.
If you have faith in Adam,
very capable
as IT support, then you can have faith that you will have an episode from the live episode. But if you don't have faith in him, I don't know what to tell you.
Then take your phone out and start recording in the notes app.
we're gonna need you to airdrop that to us.
Wow, great. Okay.
All right. We will see you next time here on The Run Through. Before we see you the next time at Banners at our sold out live performance.
Performance.
With buttons.
We're performing.
Don't forget the buttons.
Go get the buttons.